And then when this is over, I want to remind you that at the end of this half hour, to call 375-3082. And it is your turn to talk about matters that are in the news. I didn't want to get into Judge Ginsburg. Very important things that I brought in, but I don't want to divert from this subject. You'll just have to read your papers. And in the second half hour, we can talk about those matters. But I think, and I think you'll agree, that enough is enough. And it was important enough for Barbara Honegger and I to go up there and be riveted just listening to what happened yesterday. And as I say, I'll get those tapes and share them with you. And people in the audience, in front of us, behind us, were crying. The analysts were talking, and the memories of how these people were abused and mutilated and so forth, and the discussion of these children. And the very scary part, and I have to tell you, I read in the newspaper, I'll finish the list of some of the subjects that this Aquino was involved in, and then tell you about Dr. Polk, who headed the conference, and how he completely shocked me with his indifference on a particular matter. But just to get down the list now, in the second half of World Watchers, program number 831, Mr. Aquino has conducted occult rituals patterned on ceremonies conducted by Nazi leader Heinrich Himmler, the man who was to succeed Hitler and whose arrangement for his Waffen-SS were put into the Ardennes offensive, the Battle of the Bulge. I said the purpose was to have the Waffen-SS meet the American army where they were secure after the war. He conducts rituals, or they talk about one, we don't know how many, on ceremonies similar to the Nazi leader Heinrich Himmler. In Himmler's Germany, he goes to the castle once used by the Nazi SS for black magic ceremonies during the Third Reich, and Aquino performed the rituals, he said, to recreate an order of knighthood for the followers of Satan. That's what this is about as we get into this great Armageddon, the knighthood for the followers of Satan. It's not communism or anti-communism. It's that Satan is going to win, and we are part of this operation. Aquino encouraged his followers to study the beliefs of the Nazi terrorist group, and that's where Licio Gelli and Michael Ledeen and Alexander Haig and the Super Sees Me, the Italian intelligence group, were linked directly to the United States intelligence in these same kind of terrorist activities. He told his followers to study the beliefs of Nazi terrorist groups, particularly the early formation of the VEHM, V-E-H-M, and the Thule Society, the Kuli Gesellschaft, and the, I don't know if I'm pronouncing this right, the Ahnenerbe, A-H-N-E-N-E-R-B-E, that were two fanatical right-wing groups described in the newspapers that I listed for you. They are Aryan groups that existed before and during Hitler's reign. They started before, and they were linked to the Thule Society and the knighthood that is very much alive in Washington and in San Francisco with little kiddies and all around the country at military bases. Now, Aquino book list that he has for reading for his Church of Set, he's the high priest, includes Mein Kampf, Hitler the Occult Messiah, The Occult Roots of Nazism. Children from the Presidio Daycare Center, as I say, were taken. This one little girl is the only one. If the prosecutor has asked the others, I don't know. There's 10 people that the daycare center caretaker, Gary Hambrick, is charged with sexually molesting. I don't know how many went to the home. It could have been the 50 that were molested, but they're talking about one. You know, with the Kennedy assassination, there was one man. It was Oswald. With World War II, it was one man, Adolf Hitler. There's always one person. With Watergate, there was one man, Richard Nixon. These very complex plots are reduced to one. Now, as I say, the San Francisco police raided the apartment of Aquino and his wife and found exactly what the children were describing. And he is still in St. Louis. He has his top security clearance. He worked for the Defense Intelligence Agency, which was the agency set up by Daniel Graham, was the chief of the Defense Intelligence Agency, and he worked there in 1981. And I have to look up, I forgot to do it when I came in today, the years that Daniel Graham was head of the DIA, because Daniel Graham shares offices with the Fritz Kramer. Hitler's general was in the Waffen-SS. Otto von Bolschwing was up in Palo Alto with 8 years behind him and a secretary translator working for Ronald Reagan of the Waffen-SS, and he was put in the OSS. And Fritz Kramer was Hitler's Fritz Kramer, prisoner number 33. And there's a lot of witchcraft, and number 666 comes through. They're asking the children if they've seen these numbers. That Fritz Kramer from the Waffen-SS has taken a disappearance since World War II. And I believe it's entirely possible and almost impossible that it wasn't the man who shares offices with Daniel Graham. I've said these things are important for many, many years. And I think it's very hard for the listener to comprehend the breadth. Is not your fault. It's a hard subject. But the breadth is so wide. And it was very good timing, synchronicity, to see this play about the Weimar Republic and how incapable individual writers, producers, actors, otherwise successful people couldn't deal with Germany in 1932-33. It took Hitler to decide what to do with them, because their concerns were such as a knife scratching the table or the psychiatrist leaving Berlin without telling his patient she left, and she's hysterical. In the day-to-day things in that play were the important things, not what was really happening. The theme of that play, incidentally, was, it's called A Room Called Day, and it's about a very cheerful apartment that this woman loves in 1932. She's very happy with the apartment, but the warning of the person who's sort of a moderator, a young person who's speaking in front to the audience from time to time, A Bright Room Called Day it is, she warns it that when it's dark and you have nightmares, face your nightmares, face your worst fears, because that is the reality that is around you. When the rats come out at night and everything is quiet and dark and you think about the horrors in your subconscious and in your conscious and you relegate them, I had a bad dream last night. The playwright is saying, write down your dream and deal with it. It is real. Your dream is your reality. And your day world, that bright day where it's so cheerful and pretty, this girl, woman just loves her apartment. It's so bright and clear that it's a beautiful apartment and she's so lucky to have it. But it's at nighttime that all the things start happening and people appear so distressed, and the devil enters into there and the Reichstag fire takes place. And the author is saying, don't be cheerful all day and sleep at night, because if you don't face your fears, as I say, your fears are your reality. Now, to get into the specifics of these articles, as I say, this man worked for the Defense Intelligence Agency, and Daniel Graham, as former director, of course, has to be very close to the DIA, and also Peregrine and General Singlaub and Robert Brown are close to the organization that was tied into Mr. Meadows and the officers of the DIA. And I'll do some more details on Mr. Michael Aquino and what's going on around this country at the daycare centers and how high up in the military it goes, where members of the Joint Chiefs of Staff belong to the Church of Set. They partake of the satanic rituals that he is a part of. He keeps in his apartment a dagger that came from Himmler's Waffen-SS and shows it to people and worships the Nazis, keeps the top security clearance. Now, the argument but in the newspapers they say there are members of Satan cults or witchcraft that can be in the military. It doesn't interfere with their military functions. But when they take a child off of a base and take her to their home and take off her clothes and she's naked and inject her with something on the way or as soon as she leaves one place, and maybe she can't remember everything that was done. They took videos and films and so forth. Once she takes a child from a care center where the mother and father have left her off, that is the crime. And by that, he should be out of the army as quick as possible. He can do all his hunky-dunky, but when it links to the crimes or the Manson crimes and whatever they are involved in, when it is criminal. And I think that Heinrich Himmler and the Waffen-SS is criminal because he intends that a large number will die and only a select few will live. And that's what his literature is about. So he's planning mass murder. And I've been told by people, well, the civil liberties protected the Nazis, you have to have freedom of speech. Well, if you have freedom of speech, why can't you go in a theater and sometimes just yell fire and see how funny people drop their popcorn or spill their drink? And I can't go to the airport and yell, there's a hijacker, a hijacker. They would give me a fine, arrest me. And I can't stand in front of your house and say, I want to kill you. You cannot do that. You can't stand in front of a black person's house and say you're going to be killed and dead, or a Jew and or anybody else, and say, we plan to kill you. There are people that went to prison for planning to kill people, like Edwin Wilson was going to kill his prosecutor. And he got the charge and they socked it to him for extra years in jail. And Sandra Good of the Manson family went to jail because she was planning to kill people and sending death threats. And she's actually, the letter I got from her was the only death threat I ever got in 16 years on the radio, came from Sandra Good. But if the philosophy that you belong to is a philosophy whereby you have to die, then the freedom of speech is over, because the intent is to organize enough people to kill the people they don't want around. And I'll never win points with persons who have another view of that, but the Waffen-SS is the death head. It's called the death head. That's what it is. And this knighthood is to kill and to train to kill. And this man has now, as if it wasn't reason to bring him in before, has now taken at least one child to his place, because you can't take away her absolute description when they got a search warrant to go in there. If it was a house with powder blue walls or yellow walls and no cross on the ceiling and no capes and so forth. But she said exactly what it was, and she recognized them at the supermarket, and she was scared. And she said, Mommy, that's Mickey. And Mickey was Michael Aquino, advisor to the Joint Chiefs of Staff. And Shambi was his wife, Lilith. And she knew them immediately. And the home was exactly as she described. Now, going back to early World Watchers and programs I did, and I mean, this is early. I was on the air in 1971, starting May of 1971. And I didn't start making tapes available to the broadcast until 1977, March 77. But starting in June 1977, just to read some of the subjects I had on the air that pertained to these cases, one in June 6, 77, program number 272 is hypnosis, mind erasing of the CIA, victims of the CIA. Another broadcast the following week about Dr. Edward Simpson Callis, who passed away this year, and his exposés of mind control and how the prison system doesn't let a selected patsy be deprogrammed, such as Sirhan Sirhan. So the killers go free, but a selected patsy has to stay in that mental state. I was talking about the neutron bomb in 1977. And then starting August the 15th, part one, Son of Sam, David Berkowitz, the CIA zombie test, and the mind control of David Berkowitz. Now, The Ultimate Evil just came out, but I was working on these things out here and shared them on the air, broadcast 282. 283 was Son of Sam, the capture of Son of Sam, the police connections to him, and the CIA connections to the New York Police Department. Again, in October 77, the CIA mind control, the purpose, the goals, how it applies to political assassinations, and some more of Son of Sam in 1977. And then I was talking about the links of John Wheat Carr, the real Son of Sam, who was murdered on a U.S. Army base in South Dakota, that he was the Son of Sam Carr, and that this was a military condition. He was murdered, and again, it tied into the ritualistic murders. Oh, getting back to Dr. Polk, 1 minute, because this Son of Sam and John Wheat Carr comes to mind. He was the gentleman who planned the meeting yesterday and is head of the organization called Enough. And after seeing in the newspaper all these things about Heinrich Himmler and the sexual assaults upon these young people, I called him in Berkeley. His name was in the San Francisco Chronicle, telling about this conference. And I said, I'd like to attend. And as I say, Barbara Honegger went up with me, and we really wanted to hear what this situation was. And Dr. Polk was the first speaker to talk about his son, and his wife talked about their son's abuse, just this little fellow. and the things that, he's been able to say happened to him, and he's very tiny, but he's able to say that much. Dr. Polk began by saying that he was 9 years old when the war was over, that he lived in a concentration camp, that his mother and father lived in a concentration camp and had come to this country, where he's a psychologist at Berkeley, in Berkeley, California, not associated with the university, but in private practice. And then he proceeded to monitor or be the host to all the various speakers and didn't once mention the newspaper articles relating to Heinrich Himmler, the Joint Chief of Staff. I thought it would be a political awareness of fascism with a capital F, fascism. But the very people that came from Germany weren't able to see the parallels, didn't want to talk about it, and I took a bare minimum of material to them, thinking that if they have an interest, they can call me. We'll see what happens. But when I showed his wife before the meeting, we went up early, that on 1978, I was talking about John Wheat Carr, who was the real son of Sam, that was helping with the murders and was linked to satanic cults. She said, well, how did you get that? It's just in the new book by Mr. Terry, The Ultimate Evil. I said, well, I have it at home in my files. Well, where did you get it? How did you know this? She says, you know, we could be infiltrated. And she thought, her first feeling is that we were the enemy infiltrating the meeting, because I knew something that was out in 1978, by March 78, that is only coming out in a book in 1987. You can say you heard most of it always on World Watchers, years ahead of its time. She didn't believe how I would get it. I said, well, I would like you and your husband to come down, thinking that they'd be interested in the links of Himmler to the OSS, to Alan Dulles, to the Manson operations, and to Son of Sam, and Palo Alto murders, and San Francisco murders, and witchcraft. But she just looked dazed, like, I want to be the head of this, or I want that Andy Warhol 15 minutes of fame, but don't tell me facts that confuse me. So whether or not we hear from them remains to be seen. I took some very other valuable material about Nazis in the San Francisco police departments. I really don't know if they comprehended what I understood. But I showed her that about John Wheat Carr, and did a broadcast in 1978, number 307. And we're up to 831 tonight on Tex Watson, the Manson family, their Christian indoctrination, and some more on John Wheat Carr, how he was murdered at the Army base, and so forth. I was talking about these things a long time ago, and I have a list of past broadcasts. It goes on, and I have the research. A article just came out recently describing the new book, The Ultimate Evil. 10 years later, the Son of Sam doubts persist. New book claims the cult was behind the slayings. And this Maury Terry, who wrote The Ultimate Evil, I have his phone number. I was in touch with him back in those days, 9 years ago. And a researcher in New York sent me a lot of material that was pouring out of the New York newspapers. And he just didn't understand what I was saying then. He understands it now. And he's making links of the cult of the Manson family and the North Dakota murders and the California church murders and the Long Island case of Roy Radin. I did a lot about Roy Radin, or quite a bit. He was murdered in California. He was associated with the New York Police Department with Henry Kissinger. And he beat up a girl who was left to die on the subway. She survived. He was murdered in California about a year and a half ago. So The Ultimate Evil that I'll be sharing with you, and you'll all be able to get it, and I'm sure it'll be in paperback soon, is about these cases. Star newspaper, that sheet that's out at the liquor stores and on the newsstands every week, June 16th, has a long item about this book with David Berkowitz. It says, in large black letters, 10 years ago, New York Son of Sam killer David Berkowitz was caught and the case was stamped solved. But was it? Terrifying new evidence now shows that the Son of Sam may not have been alone in insane murder, but a member of the nationwide satanic cult that still kills and gets away with it. You better believe they do. And goodness knows what they're doing to these little children who subliminally may be told later as adolescents to get into this knighthood or this killing, children of the military. We'll never know what was in their minds. In the book, The Control of Candy Jones, she told how she was injected in California, had to go all the way from New York City to California to be injected. where the psychologist would tell her to hate Jews, to hate blacks, hate color, the colored people and Italians because they all smelled. And this very nice young lady who was a model who had no antagonisms towards these people was given sodium pentothal by the Central Intelligence Agency and the Defense Department and told who to hate in the years to come. So the description of the book says the cults kill and get away with it. But and not only do they kill, but the people from McMartin were telling about the ritual cutting. They cut goats, they cut their heads off and show the children. They mutilate the animals in front of them, and they kill real people. And I'll get the tape and put it on for you. You're pretty sophisticated to hear how they have breeders, women who are called breeders from this group. That's a new name they had in Nazi Germany, but that was to make for the Reich, to continue the strength of the Reich. The breeders of these cults, and these people know about this and had descriptions of these cases in California and around the country, are women who have babies so the babies can be cut up. And at one ritual, this person described, and imagine a whole afternoon of this, of after the baby is born and is just an infant, not too old, how they mutilate it, cut off the penis, put it in the mother's mouth, and cut the baby up to little pieces and want the mother to burn it. It's wrapped up, and she doesn't, so they do. That's a breeder for a sacrifice happening on army bases everywhere in this, a lot of places in this country and overseas. But I stress army because they're supposed to defend the United States. And this particular case brings out a man who's an advisor to the Joint Chiefs of Staff, to the War College, who works with the reserve, who had an honorary teaching experience in Washington, D.C., defense-related, who has two PhDs, a student of political science, an author of books on satanic witchcraft, taught at Golden Gate College, and is very influential, both academic, military, working with NATO and having rituals in the castle, the exact castle where Heinrich Himmler had the rituals, to teach his members, including Joint Chief of Staff of the United States, into those rituals. And the children at the Martin School saw other children killed and put into paper bags, and then they took hammers and smashed the bones. Can you imagine the sound and what these children went through? And most of the defendants were dropped, and they kept it with Mrs. McMartin, who's like 70 years old in a wheelchair, and they were had to sit and suck her breasts. This is what we heard yesterday. It was horrendous, and it was the real world. It wasn't our dreams. It was our real world, and I'm glad I was there with Barbara to share it because she understood it and to see and hear these people talk about these experiences. Now, the book, The Ultimate Evil, I'll be going into a lot of that with you. The man who was charged with those crimes was David Berkowitz, a postal worker. One of the things he described was that they had to give information of every member of their family, because then if they told parts of the story, their families would be killed. He said, why would he keep silent now? He said, upon joining the cult, and Berkowitz was adopted, born Jew, who in Vietnam, all these people have had this experience in the Vietnam War, and this Aquino, Michael Aquino, was in the Dominican Republic, Vietnam, and South Korea. Okay. It said that David Berkowitz, upon joining it with other new members, had to supply photos and maps and addresses of his relatives. And they were told that if he left the cult and implicated other members, their families would be killed. Berkowitz has repeatedly admitted he fears for the life of his relatives. Now, do you remember at the heat of the Iran-Contra story how Betsy North leaves her home in Virginia to go to Philadelphia to the offices of Willard Zucker, the man who used to work for the Internal Revenue, who is the banker in Switzerland, who heads Lake Resources, and I'm going to do a lot more on Lake Resources, and possible massacres, that Calaveras County massacre that took place where about 46 people were killed in Calaveras County, and only Mr. Charles Ng is sitting in a Toronto jail, and the police have covered up that entire bunker operation that could possibly link to the Iran-Contra people. And so remember when Betsy North went to Philadelphia, and Mr. Zucker said the purpose was to send money to a grandmother, a grandfather, a sister, a brother. Tell me who all your relatives are. Well, if these people are linked, if Ollie North knew this man in Vietnam, if this mind control session had anything to do with Ollie North and it connects to Anton LaVey and to the witchcraft in San Francisco that is connected to these other operations, was she turning over all those names so that if either one of them talked, they would be wiped out? Is that why she went to Philadelphia? She didn't have to go see Willard Zucker leave home at the expense of probably involving her husband in look like a payoff or whatever. She had no reason ever to see this man at all or to turn over the names of any relatives at all and children's ages and so forth. And because of the overlay of these people with the satanic operations and the war college, NATO, the Joint Chiefs, was this what she was doing in Philadelphia? A very important matter to consider. Now, I will start, my time is almost up, so I will start next week and interject some of the articles in chronological order for you, starting October the 30th with the San Francisco Examiner, Satanic Sect Leader Linked to the Daycare Probe. And this is about the San Francisco police investigating the Army Reserve officer who heads a satanic cult, and that how the police raided the home, found all the things the child described. They took 36 videotapes, photographic negatives, photo albums, cassette tapes, photos of costumes, masks, and stars in connection with the investigation of sexual molestation and child pornography. This particular article, I outlined from the San Francisco Examiner, said the search stems from a complaint of parents whose child attended the Presidio. Between September and October 1986, she was molested by a Mr. Gary and was taken to the Leavenworth house where she was filmed. Another man filmed her bathing in a tub. Right now, Michael Aquino is in St. Louis, Missouri. The search took place in San Francisco, and it goes on to say that Glenn Pamfiloff, P-A-M-F-I-L-O-F-F, Glenn Pamfiloff, juvenile division inspector for the Presidio, wrote Michael Aquino on August 28th and said he could not see how a satanic sect could be involved since it has worked very, he has worked very hard to be a decent, constructive, and responsible, this church has been a responsible organization. This is the one with the daggers of the Waffen-SS, and the prosecutor on the Presidio Army base says, you are a very nice guy, and he sends a sympathetic letter that you are sincere, you're decent, you're constructive, you're responsible, you're one hell of a guy. So next week I'll go on with the prosecutor of the case, the FBI, and a Mr. Robinson doing absolutely nothing about the case, nothing at all. And if that isn't scary, that is your real world. That is not the world of dreams. This is the world of Ollie North, the War College, the Defense Department, of NATO, NATO exercises. It was during the 1982 exercises that Mr. Aquino was doing the rituals in the castle of Heinrich Himmler and illustrating to his people these necessary ceremonies for their knighthood. And members of the Joint Chiefs of Staff are members of the Temple of Set. With that, we will take a 1-minute break and continue at right after the top of the hour.